The internet is a fantastic thing. It contains tons of information. But sometimes it's really just the best to get the information from people themselves. The Trans-Canada Tour is a 45-event traveling all over Canada. It's presented by Queer Momentum, and I have one of the two people involved with it. Faye Johnstone, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And your cohort, Victoria Buchholz, couldn't be with us today, but is also on the tour. First, I do have to congratulate whoever named the tour. It is incredibly resonant in a weird couple of ways, but I love it. First off, tell me about the idea of the tour. What is the Trans-Canada Tour?
Well, you know, in the last few years, the public has become fixated on trans issues in a way that is like exciting. And also, I think we've seen quite scary. You know, we've seen more discourse and dialogue on trans experiences in the last few years than ever before in my life. But at the same time, it's become a very polarized conversation. For many Canadians, it feels like two groups of people, one side with blue hair and the other without, yelling at each other. And it makes it difficult to see, to find common ground. And at the same time, you have, you know, provinces like Alberta and Saskatchewan that are introducing policies that we would argue are hurting trans kids and trans people. And so we see this like sense of despair and doom and gloom in our queer and trans communities and in Canada writ large. So we decided the best way to do that is find a fun pun, the Trans Canada Tour, hit the road and chat with folks both from our community and beyond, from coast to coast to coast, and see if we can find some joy, some hope, and hopefully win some folks over in so doing.
I think, as I suggested when I opened this, I think it's always best to talk to people directly rather than even if you're talking to the appropriate people online, the distance, the chance for miscommunication happens quite a bit. One of the things that was described in this is that the concern that queerness or trans issues have become politicized. What does that mean to you? It has a lot of different, it gets used a lot, but I don't know if a lot of people really know what they mean by that.
You know, I think that we have become an easy target, right? Like when politicians and governments are struggling to deliver on the real issues, like putting, you know, investing in our schools, fixing our education system and our healthcare, they often look for distractions, and they look for distractions that are easy to grab attention and that cue something to their supporters, right? So when you come out and you say, there's a problem with trans kids and their healthcare, a lot of people are like, oh God, we're worried for children. We need to be concerned. And then a lot of folks in the conservative base, they see that and they understand what's going on. They're being cued. It's a dog whistle, a red herring. And so, you know, their base of supporters say, yes, those gay people, those transes, we have a concern, we have a worry. And then the rest of the public is duped in a way. And so that's what I mean when I talk about politicization. You know, the humanity, the reality of trans people isn't actually the conversation right now. We're a political prop for politicians who want a distraction or want to punch down on difference and achieve a broader goal in so doing.
And aside from that introduction of trans issues into the public sphere, you mentioned that it is a time when we are having these issues talked about a lot more, and there are some positive elements that are coming out of it. I think that there's a lot more awareness coming out. What do you think is driving that? Obviously, for those who need distractions, we know what's driving that, but what about the rest of the discussion? Where's that coming from?
I think that, you know, for the last 100 years, Canada and much of the world has been on a journey to expand our definition of who is a deserving person, of what kinds of personhood can we recognize and celebrate. And, you know, for a long time, trans people weren't included in that conversation. You know, we were, you know, maligned as freaks, as perverts, as something scary. But I think that, you know, society has been on a march towards progress. And in that, we can expand who we see as our neighbors, who we welcome and accept. And I often say, like, I don't need everyone to get it. I don't understand how straight people's relationships work. And I've been exposed to their culture for a while. And so I don't need to understand every facet of it. But I respect it. I will let straight people be straight people. And we want the same courtesy extended to us. And I think that that foundation of mutual respect is part of what makes Canada unique around the world.
And I think, again, coming back to the notion of speaking to people in person, it's hard to label someone once you've met them properly. And I think that's a great opportunity. So do you know how this tour began? I don't know if you created the tour or just participating in it. What was the first kind of thought, and how did that develop into the idea of we got to do 45 events for this?
I think, you know, for us, it was, I think, like, I spend a lot of my time chatting with people who don't agree with me. I do a lot of work in, like, with workers. You know, I go in and I talk about trans inclusion, workplaces where they maybe haven't had a trans person come out. And then I see this ecosystem, right? I see everybody yelling at each other. And at the end of the day, you know, our belief was we can just have conversations. Like, I sometimes joke that, like, when I travel, you're most likely to find me at the dive bar chatting with some dude who's never had a conversation with somebody like me. And I've always loved the fact that we can find common ground, that we will end up making the same jokes. You know, I grew up in small towns. I was born in New Brunswick, in Fredericton, but grew up in Gage Town, traveled to province playing, you know, boys hockey at the time. And I think that in my world, it's sometimes easy to malign, you know, folks who don't instinctively think like my community does or my social justice warrior movement does. So the tour really was the Ask a Trans Person Anything event was the first one that we came up with, because we see, as you've alluded, it's easy to yell when we're all on Instagram and to get stuck in our heads. And my movement does that. The opposition movement does that. But our bet was that if we can hit the road and chat with people, we think that we can sit through and hear some of their tough questions and actually give them honest answers that they will agree with and that will win them over to my big gay cause that is actually a cause that at its core is about building a better candle for everybody.
Well, and it's a tremendous amount of effort, and I want to applaud you for even taking that effort. It's one thing to kind of go to a couple of places near you, but to actually decide to do quite an extensive tour is pretty impressive. Are you, I hate to ask this, but are you afraid about going to some places? Because you mentioned there are some places which have almost a very active and visible opposition, I guess you might say.
I think we're, you know, we're nervous, but it's like an excited nervousness. You know, my job, I've been in my own way, I've become a lightning rod for controversy. Like, the anti-trans world really doesn't like me. I've got some very active fans. And let's just say that they're not the kind of fans that are buying merch and supporting. They're the kinds of fans that want to know where I am and what I'm up to. And so there's like a little bit of anxiety, but I think that's more for when we're in like Toronto and Vancouver, where there's like maybe some like more organized groups that will take issue with me and with Victoria. In places like in small towns, I think we're going to get some folks who have some tough questions and some might need their fists up. And I think we're excited for them. Like, I want to be asked, I'm going to ask Victoria at some point, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric around the like, what medical care are we giving to kids? And we want to kind of like open the can of worms by showing that's an event where you're allowed to ask hard questions. My question is going to be like, why do you condone child genital mutilation? And to be clear, we are not mutilating children's genitals. That is a line from the opposition. But if we show that we are actually here not to like lecture you or talk down to you, but that we're here to get into the actual conversation and own some of our world's screw-ups on this journey, again, I think we're going to win folks over. And so, yes, there's nervousness because you never know. And we have some very passionate fans. But I think we believe in the willingness of Canadians to have interesting and sometimes hard conversations.
So where are you in the tour? Have you started the tour yet?
We kick off in 3 days in Halifax with our first, we're doing drag shows as part of the tour because we love to have a good time and we want to have some fun. And so our first show is in Halifax on May 25th. And then we're booking it to Fredericton for a day and then onwards to Moncton, where we're going to bring some bilingualism into the tour. And then it's pretty much nonstop across Atlantic Canada until June 5th, when we pop over to Manitoba and hang out with our pals in Winnipeg.
I was wondering, too, if you've been able to partner with local sympathetic organizations across the country for these.
Yes. So in New Brunswick in particular, we have Fredericton Pride is supporting the events in Freddie. We've got the New Brunswick Trans Health Network, which are pushing to help young folks or trans folks access gender-affirming care. In Moncton, one of my favorite organizations, Antihack NZ, They have been a very strong Acadian Francophone queer voice. And so, you know, part of this is my job is to be a national spokesperson, but there's such wisdom and brilliance on the local level. So in every tour stop, we've got local queer organizations, but also like organizations for straight people helping bring communities together and also make sure that we're not like dropping in. Like Fredericton does not need some gal who grew up in Ottawa coming in to lecture the peoples. I can play my game that says I was born in Freddie, and I was indeed, but we want to support and amplify local voices as part of this tour too.
Have you ever done anything of this magnitude before?
So we did like, I like to joke that I have a desire to do one big thing every year. And last year it was the federal election. So we did a campaign called Drag the Vote, where we basically had drag performers encouraging gay people to go cast their votes and to do it for causes and candidates that they believed in. And that was a Herculean undertaking. My life became shipping out boxes of stickers and swag and all of that. But I don't think we've ever done something on this scale. Like, you said 45, it is now 60 plus events. We're going to go up to the Yukon. We're going to hit up NWT. We're going to be on the road all day, all darn summer. But I think that's part of the point is like, let's dream big. Let's be everywhere. And let's show both our movement and the country that we can build beautiful things and have hard conversations. So I'm terrified. I will be exhausted, but I am so god darn excited.
I'm wondering if this is ever going to end, if you've already, before you started, added 30% more onto the tour. Is it still growing?
Well, my assumption is like, we're not going to stop until we've been to every single community. Like I'm excited to go to Moncton and Fredericton, but we know we're going to add St. John's. We know that after St. John, we're going to go back and hit up some of the smaller communities. We are going to go big city, small town, unite this movement and win straight people over as we do it.
So obviously, one of the features of this is to ask a trans person anything. And, you know, to prepare for that, you exist. That's a pretty good start. But did you have to do other research? Do you have to kind of make sure you expand that knowledge? Because you're kind of representing an entire group, not just yourself.
Yeah. A little bit, like, you know, I have had, like, my job has been, like, I worked around Parliament Hill a lot, and I'm used to hard conversations. So I have no doubt that there are going to be some questions that will be thrown, that I will be like, hey, you know, that's great. I got no clue what to say. But I think that's also part of the point, you know? I think in this world, we've turned trans people into, we're supposed to be able to answer every darn question about gender. And, like, again, I made the joke earlier that like I've been trying to sort out straight people for 10 plus years and I'm still confused. I think straight people are still trying to figure themselves out. And if they haven't figured it out yet, the trans aren't even going to come close to figuring out the nuance and mess that is gender. And so I think I'm not afraid to not have an answer. I am excited to chat through and maybe we can find an answer together when we're in these communities.
I kind of imagine that after this experience is over, the accumulation of that knowledge, those questions will be quite substantial by the end. Do you think that you want to try to build a summary or build maybe even a book by the time you're done with this?
Oh, a book. I think, you know, we're going to be recording every session we want, because I think part of it is, you know, there are these, like, Canadians deserve these answers. You know, why do we support kids learning about different genders and sexualities at school? How do we talk about that? And how do we make sense of it? Those are questions that matter in our collective consciousness right now. And so I think we are excited to, like, learn better answers some of the time, to see how we build empathy. You know, I have a lot of understanding for a dad who is worried about what their kid's being taught, or a mom who's scared around who's going to be playing on the other girls, on the girls' sports teams. And I actually think that we can have that conversation that honors that anxiety, but we're going to learn how to do it on this road show. And then we're going to share it with the world. We're going to record it. We're going to have a live, like a Zoom version of it at some point where we can like go through, we'll be in a podcast studio and answer some of the most interesting questions. And so we're going to learn a lot in doing this. And I think actually teach our world, like my trans movement, that we can have hard conversations, because I think we actually get scared of them sometimes. I often say we sometimes describe folks as bigots who are just confused and unsure. And I want to show my world that we don't have to be afraid of those people, that we can be their friends, and that we actually can stand on the strength of our ideas, our values, and our beliefs.
So let me ask you perhaps the hardest question to start out with. What is the most likely and or the hardest question that you think will be asked?
I think the ones around kids, right? Like, I think the ones around, like, how do we deal with, you know, the case study is the, like, you know, over the last decade, we've seen an increase in young people accessing gender-affirming health interventions. And a lot of those kids have other issues going on as well. Like, they're autistic or neurodiverse. Maybe they're struggling with some mental health. And I think how we have conversations through that is important. People have this, like, idea that we're giving kids hormones as soon as they, like, trip out of, like, as soon as a boy trips out of the closet and paints his nails, and that, like, there's this pipeline that happens. And I think how we recognize that kids of all kinds, including kids who might be autistic or have other issues going on, they also deserve access to healthcare. That sometimes, like, people are not just one thing, and that it's dangerous to ever imagine that an average Canadian who isn't part of that family gets to weigh in on the medical care of other Canadian families. And that's, like, the stuff we're seeing in Alberta should scare any Brunswicker who doesn't want the government putting itself in their doctor's office, right? Like, and so I think I'm excited for that question. I'm scared of it because I think there's a lot of issues and, like, assumptions that go into it. But I think it's a good example that the agenda that's being pushed against trans people has nothing to do with that. It's about some folks who want to control our bodies again. And they're going to, you know, go for access to abortion. They're going to go for all these other things, using us as a convenient excuse to repoliticize your healthcare choices.
Yeah, I think that you're very right, that we're questioning a lot of things, and people are getting scared of things getting questioned or changed. We have a very, you know, a society which has a lot of binary choices, essentially, that are being challenged. So one part of this is the Ask a Trans Person Anything. That's the in here in Fredericton, it's at 5 o'clock for that particular event. Then there's the second event, which is Politics with a Drag Queen. So how does that one come out differently? Is that more of an entertainment or a fun event?
It's a little bit more. So we're very, in both Moncton and Fredericton, one event flows into the second, which is really fun because the audience for the Ask a Trans Person Anything is straight people, including those who are, like, a little bit nervous. And then we're going to say, you know what, if you want to stick around, you can see some drag queens. And we're going to hope that doesn't, like, break their ability. We're hoping that we bring the audience from one to the next, because that'll mean we'll have won them over, they'll have drunk our rainbow Kool-Aid, and we're golden, we're flying high. But we didn't want a tour that was just, like, we're excited for the dialogue, but we also wanted to do something for our communities, to bring our people together. And so the Politics with a Drag Queen show is, like, one part, like, movement building, advocacy, raw, threaded through with the most, like, jaw-dropping drag you can imagine, and local performers, and fun, and joy. And so, you know, the Ask a Trans Person Anything is the dialogue with straight people, and the drag show is that's come together and have a good time as a community, that's laugh, that's learn how to organize better while embedding that learning with humor, and with, like, cool stickers and, like, t-shirts, crop tops, and all that. So it's a gay things that the movement and community will want to bring into their next pride season.
I hope that there is a fair amount of transition of the same audience. Although you mentioned that the audience for the Ask a Trans Person is primarily a straight audience, but I've got to imagine that there's definitely some people who are wondering about their own travels through life and their own gender identity. And I suspect that seeing strong, confident people willing to stand up to these questions is going to be a very big boon to them. Did you have mentors like that you had found that helped you?
Oh, God, yeah. I stand on the shoulders of giants. I've had the privilege. A lot of trans people don't know older trans people, right? Like, we're one of few populations that doesn't reproduce itself, generally speaking, despite the allegations of what the far right would have you imagine. And so a lot of trans kids, for example, like the 16-year-olds, they've never met a trans person. I have a friend who's in her, like, late 30s, and she gets called an elder, and she's like, babes, I am 38 years old. I am not, I'm still a solidly midlife. And so, like, you know, people like her were my mentors. She's got almost a decade on me. And I learned a lot from her. And so I think that's one of the things that we're trying to show is that we have these role models. And, you know, we have the younger kiddos and the parents who are scared because they've heard all of the ickiness, like they're scared for their trans kids. For them to see trans adults who are like living a good life, who are happy and healthy, but there's a power and a benefit to that in and of itself.
I absolutely agree. It's going to be an interesting experience for you and for your audience. It's going to be draining, but it's going to be quite rewarding, I think. And I hope that there is something like iBook that comes out, but it sounds like the recordings as well will be there. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this? I mean, I think there's 1,000 things I could ask, but I don't want to preempt all the questions they're going to have at the moment.
I mean, the biggest thing would be if you're somebody who's listening to this interview and you want to come hang out with us, like, don't be scared. We're not going to bite your head off if you ask a weird question. I'm excited for the weird questions. I'm at my core a cross-jaded gay who doesn't like walking on eggshells through difficult dialogue. And so if you're listening, keep hanging out with us. We're going to be in Moncton. We're going to be in Fredericton. We're going to be everywhere. And you can get your ticket. You can RSVP at www.transcanadatour.ca. And let's see if we can make you drink some rainbow Kool-Aid with us.
I think I was going to ask you what the website is. That sounds like the great place to start. And I wish you the best of luck on tour. I talked to a lot of bands who tour, and apparently, you know, whatever the tour van is, whatever vehicle they're using is always the hardest part about it all. I'm assuming you're going to be driving a lot. Good luck with the gas prices this summer as well. This is coming to the Monarch Nightclub. It's going to be on the 27th, I believe.
Yeah.
Of May, 5 o'clock for the Ask a Trans Person Anything, 7 o'clock or 7:30 really, or right after, if you just have a great seat, stay in it for the Politics with a Drag Queen fun show afterwards. Faye Johnstone has been my guest. You'll also see Victoria Buchholz on the tour. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been so much fun. Thank you for the conversation. And I'm excited to join everybody in Fredericton soon.
Thank you.